caught between implicit and overcorrection bias. When trying too hard not to be biased cost me $1,800. We all have biases, whether we realize it or not. Sometimes they lurk beneath the surface, implicit biases. Other times we bend over backward to avoid bias so much that we swing too far. Overcorrection bias. My own experiences with being scammed twice illustrate how either extreme can lead us astray. I lost money because I didn't want to seem prejudiced. It's a cautionary tale for anyone who's ever second-guessed their instincts in the name of fairness. The scam that got me twice. So I took one for the team twice. Last week, I almost got scammed out of $1,500. Thankfully, I managed to get this payment reversed. But in the process of discovering the ruse, I realized these were the same people who had scammed me out of $1,800 the previous year. The story is embarrassing, but I'm sharing it so you might avoid the same trap. Last year, a dear friend invited me to a retreat on the beautiful island of Mykonos in Greece. She had hired an incredible therapist to guide us in deep meditation. I used my American Express miles to upgrade to a Swiss International Airlines business class ticket via Zurich. Everything went smoothly until I tried to check in at JFK. The agent told me I was on standby, even though I had a confirmed ticket. I panicked at the thought of missing a day of the four-day workshop and letting my friend in her 90s, no less, down. I called the airline's customer service number, but no one answered. The gate started to fill up with passengers. I started to sweat. There was 30 minutes left before the flight would leave, and no one told me if I was on or off. A quick Google search for Swiss International Customer Service doesn't work led me to 1877 Fly Swiss. It looked legitimate. Fly Swiss translates to 1-877-359-7947. If you Google that number, it's still being recommended by many sites like Yelp and Newark International Airport. I dialed the number, and a man with an Indian accent answered immediately, skipping all the usual menu prompts. My initial reaction was negative. I don't dislike people from India, but I dislike offshoring. When I call a Swiss company, I expect to speak with someone in Switzerland, not someone in Bangalore. He told me my flight was never confirmed, implying I'd lose my seat unless I paid an extra $1,800. My gut felt uneasy. I noticed his script-like speech, the pushy demands, and his refusal to accept American Express. But I kept pushing any bias or suspicion aside because I didn't want to assume that someone with an Indian accent wasn't legitimate. Convinced I had no choice, I paid and saved his number. Moments later, at the gate, the agent looked at me saying, "You didn't have to do that. You're on the plane." Nevertheless, I saved that customer service number in my phone, thinking he had gotten me off standby. When I later glanced at my visa statement, it read Swiss Air, UAS, reminding me of the golden days of travel when Swiss Air was a real thing. Fast forward a year later, I booked a flight to Zurich online but needed to call Swiss to book my service dog. I pulled up the same saved phone number, yes, the exact one from before. The same voice answered. He told me my original purchase price was no longer valid and that I'd have to pay an additional $1,500 to secure the fare. At this point, I was rushing, juggling appointments, and not thinking straight. Again, I overrode the uneasy feeling in my gut. My bias told me, don't assume a scam just because of an accent. Instead of double-checking official Swiss International numbers, I went ahead and gave him my visa information. By the time I realized it was a scam, the transaction had already gone through. Blocking my card and calling customer service turned into a stressful, tedious ordeal. What happened? Implicit meets overcorrection. So what happened here? Two types of bias collided in my mind. Implicit bias. I had an uncomfortable reaction to the caller's accent. This unconscious attitude was based on past experiences and cultural conditioning. I recognized it as a bias, which was good. Overcorrection bias. But then I swung too far in the opposite direction. I was so determined not to be prejudiced that I ignored all the warning signs. I was overcorrecting. These stories aren't just about being scammed. They're about a psychological phenomenon called overcorrection bias, when we become so aware or ashamed of our own biases that we swing too far in the opposite direction. When I notice potential red flags, the script-like speech, pushy demands, refusal to take Amex, etc., I hesitated to trust my instincts because I didn't want to blame my discomfort on bias. As a result, I allowed a scammer to override what should have been common sense. The relief of a straightforward interaction. Shortly after the second scam attempt, I called Delta. After the real Swiss customer service rep refused to believe that I hadn't canceled my booking, that the scammers had. I reached a clearly American rep who was friendly and helpful. It was an incredible relief to have an effortless, validating conversation. I even caught myself thinking, I love America, if only because it was a straightforward call after so much hassle. This isn't about preferring American service representatives. It's about the comfort of a transparent, straightforward interaction without the cloud of overcorrection bias hanging over me. This goes beyond airline scams. This interplay between our biases extends far beyond airline tickets. It affects how we select professionals to work with, therapists, coaches, financial advisors, and more. In Fragile Power, author Paul Hochmeier explores how clinicians' biases against wealthy clients can harm those clients. In a 2020 article I wrote about his book, Dr. Paul describes how a negative attitude towards the wealthy has permeated even the helping professions, impacting clinical care. People often project contradictory feelings onto individuals of wealth, admiring them on one hand, while resenting or judging them on the other. If you're wealthy and seeking professional help, you might feel an impulse to ignore warning signs just to avoid appearing elitist or entitled. This is overcorrection bias at work again. How to protect yourself. Strategies for avoiding overcorrection. Trust your gut. Those warning bells are ringing for a reason. Acknowledge your biases, but don't dismiss your intuition. Pause and verify. If something seems off, take a moment to verify details before handing over your credit card or making commitments. Set clear standards. Don't compromise on professionals' credentials or on common sense security measures just to avoid seeming prejudiced. Ask direct questions. When hiring professionals like therapists or financial advisors, ask specific questions that reveal their attitudes about wealth. Questions to ask potential service providers. When vetting a therapist, coach, or advisor, consider asking, have you worked with high net worth clients before? This gauges how well they handle the unique challenges and confidentiality needs of wealthy clients. Check to see if they know the three cultural markers of high net worth individuals. These are 1, isolation, 2, suspiciousness of strangers, and 3, hyperagency. Dr. Paul defines hyperagency as the mastery in manipulating one's life to avoid discomfort. How do you handle fees when a client is wealthy? Their answer might reveal whether they'll alter their price upon learning your net worth, a red flag. How do you define success for a wealthy client? This shows whether they're open to your personal goals beyond financial gains. What are your views on prenups, estate planning, and philanthropic giving? Their response indicates familiarity with wealth management, complexities, and reveals any personal biases. The bottom line, bias is inevitable. We all have it, but letting it run rampant or overcorrecting out of guilt can lead to costly mistakes. The key is balance. Acknowledge your biases exist, but don't let the fear of appearing biased override your common sense. Whether you're dealing with airlines, hiring professionals, or choosing a therapist, remember to check your biases, but trust your gut. It might save you a load of stress and a few thousand dollars.